Hello and welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast Playoff Edition.
Oh, man.
I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. Bob, it's been quite the interesting first round so far. I say interesting.
Interesting in the 20-point blowouts.
At least not all the series are 3-0 blowouts right now. I guess we can say that.
There's been a couple of wins by the underdogs. A couple.
Yeah, sure.
But this past week, we lost basketball icon Prince. You know, he actually was on the varsity basketball team in high school, Matt.
Really?
5'2".
Yeah, he's a tiny guy.
Yeah, he was seventh or eighth man, and apparently, according to his high school coach, really pissed about not starting. But he was a good basketball player, as Dave Chappelle and Charlie Murphy have told us.
Yeah.
I spent a few days just reading Prince stories, and I figured I'd share a few that were basketball related. You might remember this one, that Carlos Boozer rented his Miami home to Prince.
Right.
And here's a quote from the ESPN article about it a few years ago. Supposedly, Prince changed the front gate to the Prince sign. He changed the master bedroom to a hair salon. He changed the streaming blue waters that led to the front door to purple water.
Yeah.
He knocked out walls. He changed the molding on the top of the ceiling. Booze was so livid, so pissed off, so angry, he put his Purple Rain stamp on it. Booze was like, I was getting to go over there and beat this little man down. And dude was just like, here, Boozer, here's a little check for about $1 million. It'll take care of everything. Get it back to the way you want. And Booze was like, this little man is cool as hell.
He, like, painted everything purple, changed it all. Like,
I pretty much the past couple of days of reading Prince stories have just be me finishing a Prince story and being like, damn, it must be amazing to have been Prince, you know?
Yeah.
Like at 3 a.m. Minneapolis, he needs a camel. Someone get Prince a camel. And apparently he just couldn't understand why that wouldn't be possible, you know?
Right. Rapper Talib Kweli was tweeting out some stories.
Uh-huh.
And he said one time they were at a club and it got to 2 a.m. and Prince kicked all the men out. It was just the two of them, all the girls, and then Prince started reading the Bible to them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then another time they got all dressed up and went out to a club. Prince told the DJ to stop playing rap music because, quote, I didn't get all dressed up to come out and hear these cusses.
He doesn't like cuss words. He's offended by cursing.
We all knew he was a very interesting character, but as we see with everybody, they get more interesting when they die.
Uh-huh.
Because all the stories from people come flooding out.
I saw one from Questlove.
Mm-hmm.
Questlove went to a Prince concert and brought 10 friends and forgot to buy a ticket for himself. He had 10 tickets and 10 friends. But talked to Prince's assistant. Prince came over and got him backstage. And Questlove just had to, like, sit on the stage for the show. And then Prince's assistant had him pass a message to Questlove saying that after the show, he wanted Questlove to throw him a party. No prompting. This is the first he's hearing about it. So Questlove gets on the phone with his assistant. She's calling around to all the different clubs to try and find a place to host Prince. And he wants to play billiards, too. So they find this place. And there's a VIP room on the fourth floor. And so they have to carry the pool table up 4 flights of stairs so Prince can have his billiards.
Man.
And Questlove is DJing this party. And he's playing a bunch of Fela Kuti albums, apparently.
Yeah.
And Prince walks up to him a couple hours in while he's still playing billiards. Walks over to him and he says, change the music. And, you know, Questlove's pretty surprised by that, but he's just like, well, maybe that was the wrong song. I'll put on a different Fela Kuti record. And he puts it on, it starts playing, and then Prince's assistant comes over to him and tells him to put this in, and it's just a blank CD case, and he opens it up, and it's the movie Finding Nemo. And he thought he didn't know what to think. So he goes over to his buddy because he doesn't want to be the one to put it in.
Yeah.
But his buddy, he puts it in and it starts playing. It's like, oh, maybe he just wants a background visuals for the Fela Kuti show.
Yeah.
And so they start playing Finding Nemo. And then Prince walks over to him. He's like, no, you can turn off the music, you know.
He just wanted Finding Nemo playing.
He loves Finding Nemo, apparently.
Oh, my gosh.
But one more basketball story. Chuck Klosterman was on Bill Simmons' podcast and was talking about a rumor about how Prince liked basketball so much that during the Bulls' second three-peat years, he was on tour and he would have his stage guys set up monitors so he could watch the basketball game.
While performing.
While he was doing his guitar solos. So he would be, you know, looking down and you think he's just concentrating on his guitar solo, but he's watching Michael, Scotty, Dennis Rodman.
That's crazy.
Of course, no way to know if that's true or not, but just to add to the Prince lore.
I like to think it
lore.
Is.
Some interesting information that came to light.
Oh, man.
While I was watching the Cavaliers Pistons.
Yeah.
So apparently Channing Frye and Tobias Harris are cousins.
Right, yeah.
And they started the season together on the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Both got traded and now are playing against each other in the NBA playoffs. Tobias Harris, of course, on the Pistons, Frye on the Cavs. Their mothers are sisters, and I just felt like their names are pretty consistent between the two sisters. It's just very high society, private school sort of names, been Channing and Tobias.
Channing and Tobias.
I thought, you know the musical Hamilton?
Yes.
So apparently they have what is called colorblind casting, but rather color conscious casting. And the difference is, if it were colorblind, they would just cast anyone. But actually, color conscious means they are not casting white people.
Right, I mean, anyone who can see or has heard knows that there's very specific casting going in.
So I thought it would be funny if there was a way that we could do name-conscious casting and have a movie about Channing Frye and Tobias Harris played by Channing Tatum and Tobey Maguire. Just a couple of NBA cousins. Once teammates, now opponents. I think it's got all the drama of a classic NBA movie.
I'd be in for that. You could have Channing Tatum, or Tobey Maguire is the straight man of that, and Channing Tatum's just the goofy three-point shooting.
Obviously.
Yeah.
There's breaking news, Matt, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. We could have a new Hack-a-Shaq rule by July, according to Adam Silver and Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
Here's some numbers that have prompted this change. Finally, at the All-Star break this year, Hack-a-Shaq was up four times as much as 2014-2015 season.
Wow.
Now, it's by the season's end, it's calmed down a little bit, and it's now just at 2.5 times as many intentional fouls away from the ball as last season. But now the jump in the playoffs is actually 10 times more this season so far than it was last season.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the impetus to not reward players who can't shoot free throws by giving them some escape or changing a rule necessarily to accommodate 10 to 15 players in the league who shoot so horribly that this is really changing the game. But at the same time, the commissioner is trying to keep the game shorter.
Just drag it out.
Yeah, he said that three intentional fouls is guaranteed to add about 11 minutes of game time.
Right.
And, you know, the rules committee is saying that fouls were created to deter people from fouling. Like, that's the whole point of the game is to keep it, or the whole point of having fouls is to keep it clean and keep the game moving.
Right,
you know?
Try and make them aware of what they're doing. And,
yeah. So this is completely against that spirit of the rule.
Sure.
So I'm starting to come around to this. And Jeff Van Gundy, in his broadcast this past week, too, pointed out how the NBA is the only level of basketball that has this rule. College, high school, AAU, not allowed to hack a whoever.
Right.
How do you feel about this? I mean, you've heard both sides. What's Matt Baker's take?
I've always thought it's weird that you could just run up to a random person and hack them even if they don't have the ball.
Right.
I've always thought it's super weird. I've always felt like it should be a thing where you get two shots in the ball. If because it is an intentional foul. I don't know why flagrant fouls are always rewarded with shots in the ball,
mm-hmm.
but Hack-a-Shaq is a flagrant foul.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not going for the head, or you're not punching them, but you are running up to them and fouling them. It's always been weird to me that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's hard for me to be objective about it because my two favorite teams have yeah. some of the worst free throw shooters in the NBA. Dwight Howard, Clint Capella, Josh Smith, and DeAndre.
Yeah, they are just butchers at the free throw line.
So it really would help, not only it would help my team, but it would help my enjoyment of watching these games too.
It would help everyone's enjoyment.
Yeah, no one wants to see DeAndre break the backboard with a free throw.
Yeah.
I would like the rule change to maybe be that they'll get rid of the intentional fouls, but if you shoot below 50% from the free throw line, you got to do it underhand. That should be the new punishment
yeah.
for players. Shame them into learning how to shoot. I saw a crazy headline. I think I found it on NBA Reddit. A story of false identity, Matt. Have you heard about this?
No.
That just this week, Canadian border officers arrested an African man believed to be 30 years old, who this past six months has been posing as a 17-year-old basketball player at Catholic Central High School.
Wow.
He's been living with the coach, Jonathan Nicola, and Nicola has been saying, like, you know, this guy at his age is showing a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Maybe be a future pro basketball player.
Sure, sure.
No idea how this happens. There was a great movie I watched on Netflix not too long ago about a French guy who's in his 30s who posed as a teenager from this family who had their boy go missing.
Yeah.
You know, years later, right. comes back and pretends to be the boy.
Yeah.
Even though he has different colored eyes and, you know, a French accent.
Right. And is it one of those where the parents are just so happy to get the kid back, they kind of overlook the...
Yeah, they yeah. just believe what they want to believe. Matt, I've got the next player for the Phoenix Suns to sign already lined up for you.
Yeah, who is it?
Well, it's the brother of Lance Stephenson, who
yeah.
plays for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
His brother, future Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson. He has a different spelling, of course.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson of the Grizzlies is L-A-N-C-E, like Lancelot. The common spelling of Lance.
Right, of that very common name, the common spelling.
Lance's younger brother, Lance, is also a basketball player.
Uh-huh.
Lance, L-A-N-T-Z.
Uh-huh.
So look for that in about 3 years in the purple and orange.
Is it one of those where, is it like a Cliff Paul situation where he just has a mustache and some glasses?
Yeah, maybe Lance Stephenson is pretending to be a 17-year-old Catholic high
yeah.
school player.
he got really nervous when they asked his name. So he said, so they said, what's your name? He said, Lance Stephenson. They said, really? He's like, L-A-N-T-Z.
He's my brother, though.
Lance Stephenson's dad, Lance Sr. Yeah, there's three Lances.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much like the Foremans, the George and Georginas.
Yeah, you got to keep it together.
Some teams that didn't make the playoffs are making some big moves. On the NBA coaching carousel, Tom Thibodeau just got signed this week to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah.
I predicted it on the podcast, though, to be fair, my inside information comes from actual NBA insiders. Jalen Rose has been predicting this for a while.
Right.
And he's also the president of basketball operations. Wojnarowski wrote an article about how Thibodeau really, how the Lakers really blew their chance at getting Thibodeau by not acting fast enough. And
this year.
This offseason,
yeah.
right? And Thibodeau would have really wanted to coach the Lakers. The rumor is that his experience with Team USA basketball has led him to believe that he could coax superstar free agents to join the Lakers, obviously.
Right.
All the Lakers need is a reason for superstars to go there. Any reason.
Yeah.
You know, and they will come.
Right.
But no, we'll
Sean
just,
Penn?
We'll
we don't want Sean Penn to, like we talked about last time.
Sean Penn and Byron Scott.
Yeah.
That's all you get. Another move from a non-playoff team was the Washington Wizards signing Scott Brooks,
yeah.
former Thunder coach.
Right.
And yet another obvious desperate attempt to get Kevin Durant to play for DC.
$7 million a year.
$7 million a year. Yeah. And it is amazing what short-term memory MBA executives, front offices have. You know, just less than a year ago, Scott Brooks couldn't get a job. The rap on him was that he was a fool. I mean, him and Randy Whitman were in the same class of just like witless coaches last year,
yeah,
according to the media.
Right. This
and replacing one with the other. In fact, the Wizards got rid of their entire coaching staff, except for Kevin Durant's former high school coach, who will remain on as an assistant for Scott
Brooks.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
You don't say. I know in college football or college basketball, they'll hire the coaches from the kids, or they'll hire a bunch of the kids' teammates, or
right,
recruit a bunch of the kids' teammates if they want a certain recruit. So I don't blame them. I think $35 million is a high price to pay for an attempt to sign someone.
For a runner, essentially.
Yeah, right.
Agent's runner.
Yeah. One of the sport NBA gamblers, Haralabob, you know Haralabob?
Oh, of course.
I've heard him say he makes a lot of money off Scott Brooks coach games, which I don't think should give Wizards fans much confidence.
Yeah, and not that the Thunder really replaced Scott Brooks with anyone who's doing any better of a job, by the way.
Sure, they just are healthy now.
They're healthy, but still they actually blew more fourth quarter leads than any NBA team this year. I think they blew 15 fourth quarter leads.
Yeah, I thought, as much as I like Billy Donovan, I thought it was weird that you fired Brooks to hire Billy Donovan.
Yeah, him and Presti are homies, and that seems to be the one and only reason. Another team looking for a coach, Matt? The Sacramento Kings.
Oh, yeah.
They have pretty much announced that anyone who has ever coached before, who is not famous for being a great coach, is one of their candidates. The Kings' first interview, Sam Mitchell, Matt.
Perfect.
Sam Mitchell, who's just fired less than 48 hours ago from the, 23-59
yeah, right,
Timberwolves?
Yeah. Okay. Sam Mitchell, great.
Who greatly underachieved and was replaced by a guy who's now expected to win twice as many games. Mark Jackson is on the list.
Perfect.
You know, you need a preacher and someone to fire random assistant coaches and have other ones secretly record them.
So, with Mark Jackson, I don't know if you know this name, but there's a baseball coach, Buck Showalter.
Uh huh.
He coached the Yankees in the early 90s, and he got fired in 1995. And in 1996, Joe Torre came in and immediately won the World Series.
Oh yeah.
So after that, the Arizona Diamondbacks, he was their Diamondbacks' first coach.
Uh-huh.
And he coached them from 1998 to 2000. He got fired. Bob Brenly came in 2001 and immediately won the World Series. Now, Showalter then went to the Rangers, and it wasn't immediately, but like a few years after the Rangers went to the World Series,
mm-hmm,
they didn't win, and now he coaches the Orioles. But so Mark Jackson, we might have a potential...
I see where you're going here.
Buck Showalter situation on our hands.
Kings, get him for a season, let him go.
Well, I think in the Kings it might take a few few more seasons than one season.
I don't know why they don't just cut to the chase and go straight to Vivek,
yeah,
coaching the team.
Right, just let him coach it.
Let's talk about some stuff that's actually happened in these playoff series, Matt. Unfortunately, there's two injuries that ruined potentially close series. I mean, there turned out to be now 2-1 series. And by the way, I think we're doing a lot of basketball fans a favor by recording this podcast right before the slot of Sunday games.
Right.
I assume by recording this on Sunday morning that all of the Sunday afternoon games are going to be the greatest playoff games that we've had so far this year.
That's usually how the podcast works out. We record and then something... breaking news within hours of us,
yeah,
finishing.
Madonna died, you know.
Ooh.
No, I won't even joke about that. Yeah, Avery Bradley, though, went out for the Celtics. He's unlikely to come back for
this
series.
That's big.
Same with Nicholas Batum out for the Hornets.
Right.
But the Hornets, despite losing Batum, won their first playoff game in 13 years.
Yeah, that was crazy. Michael Jordan's first playoff win since 1998.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Crazy.
Yeah, that was a fun game. I watched most of that game, and like I said in our playoff preview, I think the Hornets are a pretty fun team.
Game two of the Cavs Pistons was another record breaker, or a record tire, I should say. The Cavs shot 52.6% from three while making 20 threes, tying the most three-pointers in an NBA postseason game.
Right.
Also tying the Cavs franchise record. In that same game, speaking of terrible free throw shooters, Andre Drummond made 4 of 16 free throws.
Solid.
This is why Adam Silver is having meetings about changing the rules.
Yeah.
Another game 2 first timer, Paul Pierce got his first playoff DNP of his career.
Really?
Game 2 versus the Blazers.
Yeah, I saw he only played about 5 minutes in game 3.
Until last night, I was starting to get irrational confidence that the Clippers could possibly beat the Warriors.
Right.
They were, until last night, 7-0 with Blake Griffin back. But thank you, Blazers, for ruining that pipe dream for me.
I mean, it was only one loss, Bob.
Did you hear that yesterday at the Indiana Pacers arena, the ushers were confiscating all We the North signs?
Really?
Regardless of size?
No.
Not in their house.
Yeah, they're not the North. They're almost the North, but they aren't the North.
Yeah, there were some unlikely high scores. Jan Mahimi actually was the high scorer for the game yesterday.
Right.
Career high, 22 points. Oh, another guy who came out of nowhere was Frank Kaminsky, scored 13 points in the third quarter of Game 3 yesterday against the Heat. Apparently, he got in the post because Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing both told Coach Steve Clifford, "You got to post up Frank Kaminsky." In fact, the quote from Clifford is, "You have two first ballot Hall of Famers, and you averaged 4 a game at Maine Farmington, and they both say, post Frank? Hell, shit, you got to post Frank."
Yeah.
I've really become to like Steve Clifford a lot more than I realized watching these playoff series. I saw a video of him the other day after game 2 telling a room full of media members, like, "If I'm being honest, guys, like, you have no idea what basketball is all about compared to me." Like, all of you combined, you know, like, you haven't watched the tape. I haven't watched the tape yet. I still need to go and watch the tape to really know what happened. But
yeah,
you thinking that after just watching the game that you know what's going on is really funny to me. Our old friend Inez Kanter was the first bench player in 30 years to score at least 25 points on 90%+ shooting.
Yeah, he's had a good playoff series so far, too.
Yeah, 12 of 13 yesterday.
That output is, I'm not saying, I still don't think they can beat the Warriors, but that's the output they needed from someone to make them a viable threat, giving them another option that someone has to worry about.
Well, giving him all of James Harden's money, too, really puts the pressure on for him to make some baskets.
Right.
Speaking of James, his game-winning shot in Game 3, was it?
Yeah.
Against the Warriors, according to the NBA, should not have counted.
Why even say that?
That was my question
to
you. Yeah,
why even? So what?
You know, I don't think anyone feels bad for the Warriors or expects them probably to lose another game this series, especially with Steph Curry rumored to come back for Game 4. But do they say this because they're trying to shame the refs into getting the call right next time?
I don't know if they want to be transparent, because everyone saw the play. People saw that he pushed off.
Right.
The
most iconic shot of all time is Michael Jordan shoving Byron Russell across the free throw line, you know?
Right, but even then, the reason the play stands out so much is because it happened in the last few seconds. There's missed calls like that all the time. I think that takes away from the fact that the Rockets almost literally threw the game away twice in the end of that game.
What were your thoughts on the bench non-reaction to that Harden shot?
I didn't think of it as a huge deal like a lot of people did, I don't think.
Really? Because I know I was a Rockets fan, and I was freaking out, and I don't get paid like $20 million a year by the Rockets.
Right. Know? I mean,
I was pretty excited.
I had more. That is a good point. I had a bigger reaction than the bench. Maybe they just think of it as delaying the inevitable. I don't know. It's real weird. They're a weird team.
I mean, Dwight told people to shut up and that, you know, they didn't react because there was still 2 seconds left and it's the Golden State Warriors they're
which
playing
is fair.
Against. Oh, check this out, Matt. Check this out. This is from NBA Reddit from the user and oh, by the way. This is high schoolers from the 2004 NBA draft. So 12 years ago, 8 high schoolers were drafted directly into the NBA.
Oh, man, can I try and name them?
Okay. Well, let me tell you this first. Okay. Of the 8, 6 are playing in this year's playoffs.
Okay.
Go.
2004. Howard.
1.
J.R. Smith.
2.
Kendrick Perkins.
Negative.
Was he not in that draft?
He must have been a different year.
Oh.
I think he's a year older.
Oh, 3. Josh Smith. Who else would there have been?
A Rocket, a Warrior, and someone who just got added to the Heat.
Gerald Green?
Gerald Green? No, he's younger.
That's all right. Just name him.
Okay. Sean Livingston.
Oh, Livingston.
Al Jefferson. And Darrell Wright. Darrell Wright just got added to...
Oh, he got added to the Heat?
Added to the Heat, yeah.
Wow.
The two other guys that are not in the NBA playoffs but were drafted that year, Robert Swift and Sebastian Telfair.
Oh, man, Robert Swift.
Telfair was in the playoffs last year, or was on the Thunder last year. Yeah, so anyways, and oh, by the way, his point at the bottom of all this is, why aren't high schoolers allowed in the NBA draft again?
Yeah.
This is 12 years ago, and 5 of 8 of them are making serious contributions to playoff teams.
Right.
James Harden had an E60 video on ESPN this week.
Yeah, I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, well, I'll give you a one little spoiler
sure.
from it.
I don't think much can be spoiled, but...
Well, his sister talks about how he used to eat big blocks of cheese without any clothes on.
Totally
around
normal.
Around the house.
Yeah.
In Compton.
Yeah.
It seemed about right to me.
Yeah.
James didn't seem too thrilled that she was telling that story either. Which,
hey,
it
happened.
It
happened, bro. Own it.
All right. I want to get into our segment about the King. Did you know he's playing in this year's playoffs? What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James? Yeah, his name's LeBron James.
Okay.
Perhaps you've heard of him. In fact, I've got a history of people talking shit to LeBron James while losing. It comes from our friend at SB Nation, Roger Sherman. And it's inspired by Stanley Johnson talking shit to LeBron in these Pistons series. In fact, the first game, he said he was in LeBron James' head. When he was guarding LeBron, LeBron was actually 6 for 6 against Stanley Johnson.
He's just right in there in his head.
But the quote from Johnson, besides being in his head, was that he jabbers. He moves his mouth sometimes. Their whole team does, kind of like little cheerleaders on the bench. Every time you walk in the right corner, they're always saying something like they're playing basketball, like they're actually in the game. There's only 7 or 8 players who play. I don't see why the other players are talking. They might as well be in the stands, in my opinion.
Totally.
Hasn't really worked out for him
no.
so far. Down 3-0. In
yeah.
fact, I heard that Stan Van Gundy had to talk to him after game 2. It's just like, this is not helping.
Yeah, let's not do that. It's kind of like Ruben Patterson when he was... dubbed himself the Kobe stopper.
Oh, yeah.
And then proceeded to not.
Well, it's like 2007 and 2008 when the Cavs met the Wizards in the playoffs and James faced off against Deshaun Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
Stevenson's quote from the 2008 series, he's overrated, and you can say I said that.
Oh, yeah? How'd it work out for him?
James' response to that criticism was... that Stevenson saying that was like Jay-Z, or like if he were to respond to Stevenson, it would be like Jay-Z saying something bad about Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
Which is a way of responding and dissing Stevenson.
Yeah.
In 2012-2013, the 38-44 Milwaukee Bucks were playing against the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Jennings, I'm real confident. I'm sure everybody's writing us off, but I see us winning this series in 6. And then after they were down 2-0, he's just like, it might take a little longer than six. I still see us winning.
Yeah, might take nine.
In 2012, of course, Lance Stephenson, the aforementioned Lance Stephenson, was making choking gestures from the bench when LeBron missed a crucial free throw.
Right.
And then in 2014, in Game 5, he blew in LeBron's ear.
Oh, yeah.
Which no
that.
One will ever forget. Last year, the Bulls played against the Cavs. Joakim Noah shoved a fan, dissed the entire city of Cleveland, saying, you know, just why would anyone want to go to Cleveland? Or mm-hmm. I don't think anyone vacations in Cleveland. And then this is probably the cherry of the whole history of LeBron having people talking shit to him while he's dominating them. LeBron dunked on Joakim Noah. He ended up getting a technical foul for, you know, like taunting Noah. And you can see Noah, I was watching the video, he's being held back by the ref. Just got dunked on, and he says, fuck you, you still a bitch, though.
To LeBron? Yeah. Just going out in a blaze of glory.
Noah said a fan even spit on him in Game 2, and Cardale Jones from the Ohio State Buckeyes was even talking trash to him last year.
Wow.
But let's get into another one of our segments, the Diss of the Week, Matt. Yo mama is so fat. This diss of the week comes from another Matt, my favorite other Matt. Wait. Matt Barnes.
That was so confusing. I blacked out for a second on that sentence.
There's only two Matts that matter to me, Baker.
That's right.
Matt Barnes said of the playoff series between the Grizzlies and Spurs, we're coming to a gunfight with spoons. That's kind of a self-diss there.
Yeah. Wow. The rare Matt Barnes self-diss.
Self-diss. Charles Barkley suggested, though they were joking on TNT about who's going to sponsor the NBA jerseys, and
right.
Barkley suggested that maybe the Cavs get Rogaine to sponsor them.
Oh.
And his quote was, I'm trying to save LeBron from wasting all his money on paint.
That's a good one. Maybe in that spirit, maybe we should tell listeners to look forward to during the summer when nothing's going on. Maybe we'll have to break down potential sponsors for each team.
Oh, that would be good.
On their jersey. Shaq, for some reason, Shaq was hyping up Dwight Howard again. Kept saying Superman is in the building.
It's almost like he has a financial incentive to.
It's almost like that, Bob. he kept talking about that, and this is a halftime of Game 3, and Barkley said, well, he has tonight and he has Sunday, then Superman will be in Cancun.
Superman will be yelling at his agent to get him max dollars.
Yeah.
I wanted to check in with our good friend Uncle Spliffy.
Mm-hmm.
Told you earlier in the season that Cliff Robinson is starting a medical marijuana dispensary in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
He's doing more than just starting a dispensary, Matt. He is starting a marijuana sports brand.
Okay.
Robinson spoke to the public about his vision for the multifaceted brand and breaking down the stigmatization of marijuana. Quote, right now, our business model is kind of fluid due to the fact that the news of the business kind of got out a little sooner than we wanted.
Oh, wow.
So we're kind of put in a position where we're vetting a lot of different opportunities, whether it be partnering with somebody on a grow or to partner with someone to bring different products to our business and the consumer. Sounds like the marijuana brand is not something that they've really thought through at all, Matt.
Yeah, they announced the business before there was anything to do with the business.
Accidentally somehow announced the business, right. I mean, Robinson does ramble on about how he smoked weed through his entire NBA career.
Sure.
And it helped him recover, and it certainly didn't help hurt him being a great basketball player.
I eat chicken a lot. Doesn't mean I should go into poultry, the poultry business.
A poultry brand.
Yeah.
For athletes.
Maybe old Cliff is starting to realize that it takes more than goodwill and a thought to start a brand and a business.
It's one of the other hilarious quotes from the public article was Robinson was talking about how he was one of the guys who went with Dennis Rodman for the quote basketball diplomacy squad to North Korea.
North Korea, yeah.
Here's a quote from the article. As workmanlike as Robinson's approach was, the weirdness of the trip was not lost on him. Quote, it's like clockwork over there. I compare it to being in the Matrix. And I bet a life in a lot of different countries would remind Cliff Robinson of the Matrix, especially after he's had one of his own Uncle Spliffy's brownies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is pretty trippy over here, man. I feel like I'm plugged into a battery.
What if they're but what if they're just normal brownies? What if he's so caught up in the idea that he doesn't know how to create this brand or business. What if he also doesn't know how to make the brownies?
Man, I should get rich just selling Cliff some Ghirardelli brownie mix.
Yeah, just tell him like, yeah, this will
some potent stuff, yeah, bro.
Well, that's great. You know what? That's just great. Best of luck to him. Bob, I have a question for you, and it comes from in regards to the Knicks.
Okay.
Is this a name you can get excited about, the Knicks? Is this a name that will change the future of the franchise?
I can't wait.
Darren Collison.
Darren Collison.
Yeah. Because Ian Begley of ESPN said the Knicks will have some money to spend on free agents this summer, but the trade route has been an option. And one player some in the organization are fond of is Darren Collison. But the question is, do the Knicks have the pieces to deal for Collison, who's scheduled to make $5.2 million next season? If the question is, do you have enough pieces to trade for Darren Collison, you don't have enough pieces to trade for Darren Collison.
You don't have enough pieces to trade for anybody better, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not a knock on Collison. Collison is good.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's great as a... He's a great backup for Rondo. He's a great potential like two guard for Rondo if they want to play that system. But I would imagine it wouldn't take a whole bunch to trade for him.
Especially since the Kings could be, you know, confused by just like, you know, using a mirror to flash at their eyes,
yeah.
You know.
if they wanted Darren Collison, I bet you they could have gotten Darren Collison for Tim Hardaway Jr., the guy they traded last offseason for Jeremy Grant or whoever it was, I think it was a pick or something.
I think they just had to get rid of him because Derek Fisher was hitting on his girlfriend.
Sure. I don't know how you get Darren Collison. That's the shape the Knicks are in at this point.
I do think if they did find a way to sign him, he would probably be the best point guard the Knicks have had since their entire team was made up of only point guards. You
right.
Know?
The Francis Marbury years?
Yeah, the Isaiah Thomas years. We'll monitor that, but Phil Jackson is undoing a lot of his legacy each day he talks in New York, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a huge Jackson supporter.
On the next episode of Brick House.
But on the next episode, I am excited to tell our Brick House listeners about the most boring 40th birthday party of all time. Because on April 25th, that's Monday, Tim Duncan is turning 40 years old.
Wow.
I saw a fan post a picture of Tim Duncan with the caption, Tim Duncan wearing the most Tim Duncan shirt ever. The shirt, Matt. I don't know if Tim Duncan was going to a game in this shirt or where he's going, but it said, 4 out of 3 people struggle in math.
Oh, that's so good.
Tim Duncan, just making dad jokes.
That is so good.
Having some like low-fat cheesecake and calling it a night,
yeah,
at 7:30. That's how he's going to celebrate
his birthday. Brilliant.
We'll tell you all about the crazy comedy from that party when we come back next week on the next episode of Brick House. ¶¶